I'm Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly.
And you're listening to
XOXO
JK, a show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, all the stuff that happened this week. And this week we've got a lot of stuff to cover. You're moving.
I am.
Which is exciting.
It is.
And packing and doing all that.
You quit your job? Woo!
Oh my God.
No,
I quit.
This is big news.
This is really big.
It's been
big
a couple
news.
Weeks since we recorded too, so.
Oh girl, we got a lot to talk about with that. You had an amazing freelancing presentation that you gave at the U of M. What is it? MiniWebCon? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So I can't wait to hear about that. And of course, we have to, talk about the amazing Bruce Jenner interview Friday night from ABC 2020.
Yeah, not just that finally just decided to break the silence and talk about his stuff so other people could stop talking about it and speculating that, but it's just such a big move for the community in general.
Agreed.
And amazing. So that'll be really great to talk
about.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I am too. So, okay, tell me, well, first of all, how have you been? I haven't seen you in forever.
I've been great. I've been really good. I feel like I'm not, I haven't been very social because I've had to schedule every block of time so I'm moving and soon. So I'm doing all the, packing and cleaning and then I'm also general contracting a remodel at the new house.
So you're amazing. You do all that stuff.
I felt like I'm wrapping up a contract right now. And so I felt like I could just delay the next, big job I took on and just do that instead. And I felt like we had a couple contractors that we were maybe going with, and the one wasn't a general contractor.
Yeah.
And the one that we ended up going with is, but I felt like it's still going to require a chunk of my time.
Well, and it's your house, so you want to make sure that stuff is going the way that you want it to be going.
Yeah, and obviously, because we're doing a remodel, we're buying. So that's exciting, and you do. I just want it to be
the way that
I want to be available, and I don't want it to be a total nightmare, stressful time where I have to run from a project and I'm scheduling or I'm constantly interrupted in what I'm doing. I still want to live a normal life, and I know it's going to be intense because everything I own is in a box, and then there's going to be 3 or 4 weeks in there where we're living in two places, kind of. So we're going to have utilities hooked up. I already hooked up utilities in two places. So the month of May will be, double CenturyLink, Excel Energy and such. But it's worth it because when I'm over at the new house, I want to be able to work and
totally
answer emails and whatever. So,
how long does a project like that take, the remodel?
Well, we're doing the basement and they're coming in the day after we close to start doing demo. So he said that will be a half day, and because they just work really fast. And I actually kind of wanted to do the demo, but I'm going on a trip to Nashville. So,
oh, how convenient.
Well, I tell you, it is working out okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. You're
I had to bust. I had to bust butt to get stuff done to feel that way. But my girlfriend Dana is turning 40, and she really wanted to take a trip for her birthday, and we didn't actually expect to be closing and everything right now. We thought it would be later in the year. So,
but it's kind of awesome that you're okay, do this stuff. I'm gonna go on a trip. When I come back, it's gonna look different. It's gonna be at this place.
I've always done better with a schedule.
Yep.
If I have an unlimited amount of time, I kind of am okay, I'll do it.
Well, and I've kind of heard from friends too, who've done projects like this in their house, it's kind of hit or miss, I had a friend who went to New Zealand for 3 weeks, and they had bought an old Victorian side by side in St. Paul that they had. They're making into one. And so it's a huge project, but they were working on the staircase, and the contractor that they had hired, they were going to be gone for 3 weeks. So he was going to do that while they were gone. And so by the time he got back, as he was gearing up to come back, he was great. We're so excited to see what it looks like. And then, the contractor was well, about that, and what? It's still not done, So it's kind of this weird thing. So I think you do kind of have to stay really on top of it and be able to say, all right, we need to be here by this date and here by this date, because otherwise it seems like it can be real easy for things to sort of fall.
Yeah. Well, I at least want the perception that I'm up in their stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, like I know how to talk about that, the projects like this, and we're not doing, there's no structural changes. So that, I think that is where it can get really sticky, but this is like, they're ripping cosmetic out like one of those panel ceilings and putting in like a real ceiling, and then, you know, carpet and a lot of paint and a couple of walls, new walls, a drywall, but a lot of like just finishing.
Yeah.
A lot of it, I would say like 50-60% of it is just finishes. So I think it'll go as planned. So I think it'll take between 3 and 4 weeks.
That's so cool.
And they have a big crew, and apparently, you know, a couple of guys can work that Saturday to get the demo done before the crew comes in on Monday
that
to do
awesome
to lay the sheetrock on the, so take the ceiling out. They'll do that Saturday, and then so I don't want to get too far into it, but So we're planning on the basement being like 90% done when we move in. So if we have to move some stuff in just into the laundry room,
that's fine.
And then we'll move, at least it'll be downstairs, like bigger stuff. So yeah, I'm really excited.
I just think like every time I move, even though I am a renter, but every time I move, like just the idea of having like a new space to move into and like have, it's almost like a blank canvas, you know, you're like, what are we gonna do? Like
it's a total opportunity.
Yeah,
to like,
it's fun.
And there's so many options now for like, I've really found, I was picking paint colors and I went to Pinterest and searched the paint color just to see it. And then I realized quickly that you can see paint colors on actual walls of rooms. Mm-hmm. So you can say like paint color with brown trim or wood trim, paint color with white trim, and see what it'll look like, which I don't know that there really is a thing like that now. Pinterest, I mean, you can paint a sample, but you do not know.
Right.
And my worst nightmare is painting a wall gray and having it be purple.
Girl, let me tell you, my bedroom that I live in now, when I moved into purple. It was dark teal and poop brown. Now, those were the two colors that the entire room was painted.
What?
There was one wall that was completely poop brown. That was like the accent wall. And like a lot of the woodwork trim was painted and the
terrible.
Rest was teal. I know. I'm not going to judge it. I know the person who lived there before me. So like no judgment. But that is too dark for a small space, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I painted it all, but I had to prime it all first because it was so dark.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the one thing I learned. You got to prime the walls because if you don't prime them, and then you know, that color will seep through. So I painted it's like a light gray, kind of really similar to the paint samples that I saw of yours.
Yeah.
And
nice.
And white trim. Great. Oh, so nice. Yes, just very calming, very
gray
nice.
Is so, great.
So yeah, it was a long process though because whew.
It is. And you can't.
You think it's going to go so fast.
We did a whole. Yeah. Like a whole day. Remember we talked about
that? Yeah. You prime on one day, paint on the next.
Yeah. Or trim.
Yeah.
Or clean and tape one
yes.
day.
I did try to do it all in one. And it ended up like 4 days long.
I know. And you know what? I wrapped the whole first floor paint job up in the contracting project.
Yeah. That's
and I was like,
awesome.
And I was able to narrow it down to 3 paint colors.
That is awesome.
Because then the house has a really open floor plan. So there's, it's like, you know, and the idea is that when you put one paint, I mean, if you can see every room from every spot in the house, you want to have those like clear sight lines.
Yeah.
And right now there's like the kitchen, you can see this like green paint in the hallway. Mm-mm. And it just like doesn't make any sense in my brain. I am incredibly sensitive to stuff like that too. Like I, color stuff is like, my eyes aren't happy. I have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
So they're
going to
do that. That's awesome.
So they'll do that in the first week. So that will be great. And the move is about being closer to the boys' school and being closer to my life. The last year, I felt like I was commuting into my life. And man, it has been rough. I have never driven more and I've never spent more on gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't drive a lot. I was a stay-at-home mom and then a freelancer who worked from home.
Yeah.
So it's been rough. And then, you know, the neighborhood that we live in has been, it wasn't this way last spring.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel unsafe at all. And then this spring, it has been one event after the next. And I just can't, I'd be how like cooped up in my house, and also think about the boys playing outside safely. Like I've had to be outside with them every time all spring, and that this isn't a life.
Right.
At some point, you're like, what am I?
Right.
What are we doing over here?
Right.
So that's why the kind of accelerated plan to get in to the new place.
I love it, and you're going to be so close to me too, which is great.
I know. So it'll be great. And I mean, we'll be able to walk to brunch and coffee.
And we can actually walk to brunch and coffee together.
I know.
We can be right in the middle. It's perfect.
I know. I can't wait. And then you'll be so much closer to record, and we'll have a studio, and like a proper studio in the new place.
We can have barbecues in our backyards.
Barbecue studios.
Yes.
We could record outside. That would be funny. Just
that's
trying.
That's gonna be like, so cool.
Kyle's our producer is probably having a heart attack for me saying that. So.
The mics pick up the wind, don't they?
I think it'll be really good. I'm really excited, and I'm mostly excited to start unpacking, like all that stuff in between is.
There's two things that I really hate most in the world, though, and one of them is moving. You know, like it's
awful.
It's like once it's done, it's great. You know, but the lead up to it, it's like it feels overwhelming. You have so much stuff. I always go through all my stuff, which I know you have done too. Like, because I'm like, if I don't want it, I don't want to move it. You know, like that's the least.
Nothing like creates more like rage than unpacking a box of stuff you don't want.
Right.
At the new house. I want to say a third of my clothes.
Yeah.
I gave a bunch to you.
I know. I'm so excited.
Donated everything else. I was like, I would be embarrassed to give this to someone. And then like, just even like art, mirrors and
well, it's like if you haven't used it and you haven't like just get rid of it because it's like it just doesn't you just don't need it. And that's the thing. Like we get consumed with so much stuff over time.
Don't
like
I
think
this,
of, I think of my parents' house and oof, I never want to end up like that. You know, it's like you just don't need it. The clothes, the stuff, like get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel so much better when things are like organized and.
I love that you brought that up because I feel like moving is such a high anxiety activity anyway that sometimes there isn't the wherewithal or the brain space to like upgrade to fewer things. And it is an upgrade.
Yep. Like, because chances are when you move into the new place too, you're going to have to get some other stuff because the space is different.
Yes.
Like you have to, you know, to configure things differently. Like it doesn't match up to where you're coming from. Like
we're dealing with that right now. Like thinking like, well, we're not going to have that extra back like entryway space. Mm-hmm. Like so everything is bigger and better and the flow is better. But that like an open floor plan almost creates some storage issues like in a main room. So we were just thinking about that this morning. Like, is that actually going to work? Mm-hmm. Like, where are you going to put your shoes? Mm-hmm. And like real things. And we don't have, you know, millions of things. And everyone has to manage their own shoes and coats and stuff. But like everyone needs to have a couple pair of shoes and a couple jackets in an entryway.
Right.
So anyway, it'll be good. But I think that it has been a great exercise in that, especially because like closing on a house takes a while and all the paperwork and the ins and outs and the renegotiations and the appraisal stuff, that stuff takes a while. So you're able to sort of use that energy instead of being like just anxious and worried, then you're able to use it towards going through, like I went through the whole basement. I went through my closet, I don't know, four times. And then,
and you're a real adult because you hired movers too.
Well, I think I, with the divorce and moving, having to move a couple times,
I've hired movers the last two times I've moved too.
I think that there's at some point,
a threshold.
You know, I still need their help. Right. I still need them to move all my art and all my friends, I mean, like all my plants.
But that is manageable. You're not like having people move your
I like my friends. Totally. I want to continue to.
Boxes of books that are so freaking heavy. I mean,
Yeah.
It's so worth it to hire a mover. Although I do always feel so bad because I'm like, ooh. Sorry that you have to do this and it's 80 degrees outside and you're bringing things down three flights of stairs.
The last time we moved, it was like 98.
Then you're like, I'm paying you. Okay.
Yeah. They're paid well.
It's your job and then I'm going to tip you well. But that's one thing I always never knew. How much do you tip them? Like movers.
I don't know.
Yeah. I never knew either.
I think I gave them. The two guys, $40 each.
That's what I did. Okay, good. Then I feel
like it's like, you know, they could get a few days worth of lunch.
Yeah.
for that?
That's exactly what I did. And I think it was like a 2-3 hour job. And then I tipped them $40 each. Okay, good. I never knew what to do. I was like, oh, I hope
I was just glad I had cash last time.
Yes. I actually had to go get cash because I forgot. And I was like, oh, can you just hang on a minute?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a weird one because you are paying them hourly too. But yeah. That's a lot, especially like I have this really steep staircase at this place. So mm-hmm. It's a pain. Kyle has brought a ton of stuff out to the garage. So the move will be a lot smoother this time.
Yeah, that's awesome. It'll go fast.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if it's just right there, then they load it up and take it over. Boom, done.
We're not moving the furniture out, but it'll basically just be furniture inside. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That's great.
I am excited. And it does take over your whole life.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
If you try to make it not, you'll go crazy. Mm-hmm. I know. We're going to be so close.
Yay. Moves. Oh, so many changes in our life.
And speaking of changes, cool segue. Ooh, congratulations to Jen. She left her job that she hated that we have talked about over and over on the show. And
I finally quit.
And additionally to leaving that job, she has accepted a new position.
I did.
Which is closer to her house and less of a commute, more money, more flexibility.
More responsibility, too.
More responsibility. Better for her brain and lifestyle. Yes.
Sunny office space.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you. It's like it was happening to me as it all unfolded.
You were so great to me, like, throughout this whole process.
I was just like, I wake up every morning and think, oh, my gosh, I wonder what happened. Like, once you told me, I was like, I wonder where everything is. I wonder how the transition's going.
It was hard. Like, I knew. So I'd quit this job. I really like my boss as a person, you know, the one that I just quit with. I really like her as a person, but I've realized that there's some similarities in our relationship that's similar to like the relationship I have with my mom, which, you know, has a lot of struggle with it. So
yeah,
it wasn't really a healthy place for me to be, but really, you know, so mm-hmm. I was really anxious about putting my notice in because I knew how it was going to go because I had already done it once before and it didn't go well. So
right.
Then they had asked me to come back.
Right.
So, hindsight is always 20/20. I shouldn't really probably have ever done that, but I did it and whatever, and it is where it is and here we are. So, it was pretty emotionally intense and it went exactly how it was going to go. And I'm kind of proud of myself because I didn't, there was a lot of things I could have said and I didn't say any of them. I just sort of sat there and let her say what she needed to say, which, you know, was less than ideal. But I just sat there and in my head, I just kept thinking it's going to be over soon. It's going to be over soon. Yeah. It's not worth saying anything here because people are who they are. Like, they're not going to change. Like, is what it is. So anything that you're going to say is only going to stop. My dog just licked my computer. Is not going to change who she is. Like, doesn't matter.
That's the definition of grace.
Thank you.
It is.
So what I did is I just pinched my palm the whole time underneath the table and was like focusing on that while she was.
That's an amazing tactic.
Saying everything that she was saying, I just kept pinching myself. Like, okay, no, well, I cried. I'm not going to lie, I cried, but you know. Made it through. And then the next day I had to kind of do it again because we had to go to coffee and she wanted to talk more about it. And I stood my ground just kind of let her say what she needed to say and looked at her because I didn't have anything to say about it, you know, and they wanted me to maybe stay a month and I can do
Boy,
that.
I just don't understand the psychology behind like someone who wants to leave and asking them to stay. Like,
right.
Like what you're going to really get out of them. I just
hang. I mean, it's taken me like 4 days to do like a simple task because I'm just. She's like, let me know when you're done with that. I'm like,
inert. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, it's been a week and a half. I'm still not done with it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you and you don't owe them anything. I know. And
that's the thing, like as women, you know, and I've talked about this a lot with my therapist too. Like she helped me quite a bit as you did as well, like through this. And it's not that I didn't think I could do it. It was just, I was really anxious about what was going to come at me, you know, because it's like, why would you want to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, you know, especially right. having done it once before. And it was so funny. I talked to one of my, right.
That I, didn't serve you.
Like I knew what was coming. I was like, I'm braced for it. And my coworker, you know, who works in a different department. She had recently put her notice in. And I said, well, how did that go when you did it? And she was like, well, and it was with a different person. But she said, my boss was like, that's a bummer for us, but this sounds like an amazing opportunity for you. And this is, you know, exactly kind of where you want to be on your professional track. Like, how awesome is that? Like, you had a goal of doing this. Now you're going to do it. Like, that is cool. And I was like, wow, that is an amazing response that I have.
That's a mature adult response.
Yet to receive.
So. Yeah. I mean, and that's a really strange position to have to transition in from boss into like human person. And like human person who is aware of the other one's goals.
Right.
You just have to like, it is like a, like beyond shock probably and disappointment for her, but like just elevating herself then to the point of being like, I know how upset you've been. It seems like your productivity has been low.
Right.
Whatever. Like just transition. Like that's what we do all the time for people.
Right.
And you're either able to do that, or maybe she's unable to do it because she hasn't had that growth in her life. But once you've experienced that, you just want to like do it for other people.
Right.
And be like, kind of like when someone decides to move to another city and you're like personally disappointed that they won't be around to do your, but you understand like all the stuff that went into the decision to move or get out of this town for, you know, family history personal reasons, growth, for whatever. Yeah. It's the same thing. Like just like going one step above and be like, wow, they really did a lot to get to this place.
It's pretty cool. And the minute I did it, I mean, I just could feel the weight. Like I remember I showed up at the gym and everyone was like, what is going on? Like you're in such a good mood. And I was like, I quit. Like I became myself again, you know, and I could sleep at night.
Wow.
And I, you know, I just,
that's huge.
It is. Cause it's like, okay, I can,
Louie, Jen's dog is in the studio with us today, so
I'm
holding his tags so he doesn't scratch him.
He's scratching.
Oh, Louie. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. That means a
lot. That's huge. So tell me about the new place and what you're looking forward to.
Well, it is the Industrial Fabrics Association International.
Wow.
Who knew that was a thing that existed?
Yeah.
I didn't know until a couple months ago. But it's a trade association for like textiles, all the different kinds of fabrics, like tents and awnings. Who knew? Marine fabrics. I didn't know. They have like 6 publications, so I'm going to be working with those.
Oh my God, cool. I want to put a sail up in my backyard.
Oh my God, amazing.
You might want to be my rep. I don't even know where I want to buy it, but I had this restaurant in...
I love it.
There was this restaurant in like Key West, Florida that had sails in the trees.
Oh,
like
wow.
Like old sails to like... protect people from the sun.
Yeah.
But then they still let the light through.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, I really like a triangle piece of fabric. So that anyway, I know that's offsides.
No, that your house is going to be amazing. Wait. So it's national stuff and some international stuff. So yeah, I don't have to kind of do the little rinky dink stuff I was doing here. So I'm excited. I'm gonna be a manager.
Oh, welcome Friday.
So I'm gonna be like, let's do some icebreakers. Oh my God, boundary breaking.
You're gonna be the best at that.
I don't know. Oh, I'm excited to do that because, you know, I'm 37. I've had some management experience, but it's been probably about 7 years. So, you know, who you are as a manager at 30 versus who I think I will be as a manager at 37, really different.
Yeah. And then over your last year of becoming like a real an inspiring person to others in a big way. And that's a lot what a manager is. It's just like it's leading people to be leaders and leading people to be better. And you've done such great work over the last year. Like people, you just came in swinging. Like you started writing for Sokana.
Thank you.
And then like people were immediately like, of course she's doing this. You know, like there was no delay in the time that you started it and the time that people were like, I'm in. Aww. Like, I want to do this too.
Thank you.
I'll follow this, you know, this story all the way. I'll start doing things. And I know you had a lot of people say to you, you inspired me to start.
Yeah.
Thanks. I know you have. So that's I think so that's nice. A big.
It makes me feel so embarrassed and weird. Thank you.
Good. Good.
Because it's so like that. Just thinking of that. It's like, that's not why I was doing it. You know what I mean? It just, that was it, like a byproduct. And it's and been really okay nice. Time, and yeah. I am always surprised to know that someone actually reads something that I wrote. Like every time, truthfully yeah. and genuinely. Like,
well, you should definitely never get used to that, because I think at that point that maybe you need to
recheck your...
Well,
check
that's
yourself
that I always say about public speaking. I'm like, totally. If I ever get used to it, or like I'm not like completely intensely anxious the night before, then it's time to quit.
Speaking of which.
Is it time? Well, anyway, I just want to say too. I want to say again, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. I can't wait to see what comes.
Oh.
Just, I mean, even if you were like, I'm going to go be a regional manager at REI, I'd be like,
I'm excited.
Anything but what you were doing, because you were so, so sad there.
Oh my God.
So
the ceilings were so low. I just don't, I know that's like a weird thing.
Literally,
but like,
figurative.
It you just felt like the crush, like come on you every time I walked in there. It was ridiculous.
Sorry I ruined your segue.
No, you didn't. But here's the thing. You were talking about getting comfortable public speaking. You just had this like big thing that you just did.
Yeah, I did this freelancing workshop at MinnewebCon, which is put on by the University of Minnesota. So I was able to speak and present where I went to college, which I didn't even think that was a thing until I was like, I'm speaking where I went to college.
So who was there? Was it college students or was it like?
No, it was like people in the tech industry.
Okay.
And people who want to become, they want to open their own business or do what I do.
Yeah.
So I did it. It was a freelancing workshop. So we talked about charging what you're worth. We talked about setting up and how to take inventory at your current job. And, you know, like what kind of like, you know, like a printer and supplies and network and those kind of things. And like how to find clients.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And MinnewebCon is an unbelievable, we've talked about it a number of times on the show, but it's just a really, really well run conference.
Yeah.
And so it was really exciting. And I got like, so I got this like email with credentials. Like you can now list your like guest lecturer at the University of Minnesota on your resume.
Wow.
And I was just like,
that is so cool.
Holy smokes. That's cool.
That's like legit.
Yeah. And it was the first talk I ever submitted. So I've done a ton of public speaking, but I've never submitted a talk before this one, which is like, you know, you put a formal application. You have to essentially write your talk.
Right.
Before.
How long was it?
It was a workshop. So it was 3 hours.
Holy cow. That's like, that's like legitimate, programming.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. It was a ton
3 hours.
So there was a break in the middle, and then they did a lot of work on their own. Like they did a ton of work. Like they had to kind of like interview each other and figure out like what they were really doing there and what the kind of stuff that energized them was.
Yeah.
You know. So it was pretty cool, and you know, I capped it at 20. Because it's a lot of one-on-one, like answering.
Oh, that is awesome.
We did like Q&A, you know, a lot of Q&A, which is like very personal. It ends up people are like, oh, I want to know about that too. But so I capped it at 20, and I think we had like 16, 18.
Wow.
So, and I don't know like who, you know, didn't show up or, you know, whatever. So
do you get like, did you know who was coming beforehand or?
I didn't.
Okay.
A couple people had told me that they were coming just on Twitter or... Mm-hmm. You know, I'll see you on this day, you know, when you just like in seeing them in social situations.
Right.
So there were a few people I knew. It was really cool. It was just, and it was like 70% men.
Oh, wow.
And then for the conference overall, it was about 50-50, which is pretty cool for a tech conference.
Mm-hmm.
But there were more men than women in my course. So it was really interesting. I don't think I've ever taught to that many men. And the thing I did last fall, the last really big public speaking thing I did was a course just for women. It was that Google for Entrepreneurs,
yes.
Like 40 Forward
at
increasing
Cocoa?
The number of women in tech communities. So it was like all women. So it was really, really interesting and figuring out like how just different programming and different.
So what was the biggest surprise that you had like going through and facilitating this workshop, like that you didn't expect?
I didn't expect really anyone to come.
I always do that. You're like, wow, people showed up. This is great.
The people that came were very, like, they had done a lot of work.
Cool.
So I felt like I had really less to do that, you know, I still gave them a ton of work to do and worksheets, and I had well-developed slides, but I feel like they challenged me in a way that was really awesome. They came prepared and ready.
That's awesome.
So that was, it wasn't like a shock or anything I couldn't handle, but, you know, I was punting a little, and right away I told them, like immediately told them, you know, I've talked about the subject matter, but this is the first time I have done this talk.
Right.
And I thought you guys would be the perfect guinea pigs for, you know, this kind of thing, because they're transitioning and they're thinking about new things. And so we were able to give each other help. And then I was able to help and gave them like the opportunity to email me afterwards.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great.
And so, what was the hardest thing about doing it?
Probably just, you know, getting there on time and making sure like my slides were set up. And
technology is always such a killer at these things. Like, I feel like every time I've needed a PowerPoint or whatever, it's like it never works. You can never get the screen to work.
Yeah. And they had told us ahead of time what to bring. So I was prepared that way. But I feel like that is always my biggest barrier. And I don't know that will really ever change, because it makes me feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's permanent. But yeah, it was good. It went really well. And it was a beautiful day, and I was on campus, which I'm not on campus very much anymore. So it was just like walking out of there and feeling that like sense of that everyone clapped at the end.
Oh,
that was like,
did anyone record it? Was it okay?
No, it wasn't recorded. The keynotes were, but
cool.
It's just, I think it's just too much.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
too
awesome.
Much gear.
So can you use it for other things if you want?
Or yeah, is
it
like, for sure.
Good.
So now it's a fully developed talk, which I can, it's my property, so I can give it, I called it Not Wearing Pants is Freelancing Right for Me.
I love that.
And it was actually started as a working title, but it just stuck because I know the conference director, and I knew that she would think it was funny. So I played to my audience a little bit there.
It's great.
But
it's perfect.
It makes sense. You know, and then I wore a dress, so I really wasn't wearing pants.
So did you bring that, like, did you address that? Were you like, this is my first joke?
Yes. Yeah. I always That's feel a little awesome. Bit like improv classes will probably help a little bit in being prepared.
Totally.
Or something like that.
That
I've
is
been
awesome.
Trying to take them, but the timing hasn't matched.
We're going to make you do it.
Yeah, I want to.
That's great.
So I'll be able to give that talk again. In fact, I had a ton of requests. Like, people couldn't take the day off to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they can't take a day off of work to take a freelancing course.
Right.
So I thought, well, maybe I can do one on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to figure out when. I've been trying to do that for my business.
Yeah.
Do like quarterly programming.
Yeah. And get people to register, buy tickets for it.
Like, yeah.
Perfect.
It just is.
Yeah. What kind of space could you do that in? I wonder.
Well,
Cocoa or?
Yeah. Yeah. I could do it there. I could rent like a room at a restaurant or something with a quiet back room and a television. Yeah. That would be okay. Even at like a brunch Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe would work. So I thought about Thursday or any night of the week after, like 6 to 8, and then maybe doing a programming on Saturday morning too.
That is awesome.
But I have to.
Let's get you into your new house first.
Let's get to the new house, and then I'll develop the programming.
Yeah,
but it is on my short list of like what I want to do next for this, because I really enjoy reaching a lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and you have a good story to tell too.
Thanks.
That inspires and helps other people as well.
Thank you.
Speaking of inspiring
stories.
Oh my God. We're just so kicking it with the segues.
It's
all improv too.
I thought we would be remiss to not talk about Bruce Jenner a little bit. And I know it's up to him to tell us when it's time to start referring to him by another name or with another pronoun. Mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit like, I just want to do it right. And when I was working for the congressman or the potential congressman working on that congressional campaign, mm-hmm. I put myself through the media training for talking about transgender individuals and with the PFLAG.
No. Okay. Yeah.
The training that they have like a media kit.
Okay.
I did that because I really didn't have any experience and I wanted to be able to talk about it in a real way. And I have so much compassion for people who are struggling and in this way and in really every other way, because I've been through so many struggles and it just increases your empathy.
Yeah.
So did you watch The Thing Friday?
I did. Well, I didn't watch it Friday. I actually watched it yesterday, but I wanted to say too, I went through recently, my gym, Silkana CrossFit, had a couple Fridays ago, we had a training at the gym the night before. They had a throwdown competition that was benefiting the Minnesota Transgender Health Coalition.
Awesome.
So we had a couple folks come in from, it's MTHC is the acronym, Minnesota Transgender Health Coalition. They came in on a Friday night and gave like a training how to be a transgender ally to those of us that work awesome. Or represent the gym. And yeah, it was pretty cool. It was just a couple hours long. But, you know, one of the things for us at the gym is like there's some things that kind of fall under male or female. For example, like our tracking system, you know, you enter the workouts that you've done or whatever, you either fall under male or female. And
oh, for like weight?
Yeah, like online, it tracks. Yeah. It's like, so, and then like how to reference people and things like that. And what I learned was like things are very, very fluid and it's very much so up to the individual. And so, you know, outing people is very huge. And
and how that stuff is so integrated.
It's not up to us to do that, you know, and there is one, we have a couple of transgender folks that work out at our gym, which is wonderful. One of them is very, very, open about his transition. And, you know, I've mentioned him in my blog, I think a couple months ago or something. And he's very vocal about everything that he's going through, which is amazing. But not everyone is on that same wavelength, you know? And so you need to figure out how to be able to navigate everyone's journey and progress is very individual and trying to create a place to make everyone comfortable. Like, for example, the weights that we have, like there's two numbers always for exercises. One is heavier, one is lighter. And it's typically male, female. Like that's how it's scaled.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to figure out like how to not say male, female, because, you know, if you're transitioning from a female to a male or male to female, like mm-hmm. your strengths are different too. And just in general, and sometimes maybe you're just stronger.
Starting out.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, here's the two numbers, you know, just, it's like, don't even address the gender orientation on that at all. And it was just really cool. And I think they also thought it was really cool that, you know, our gym was interested in doing that and
yeah, just laying the groundwork,
being a safe place. And I love that. Like, that's, it was just very fantastic. Cool. So it was interesting to go through that and then to watch, you know, the Bruce Jenner interview. And I really loved when he said, you know, when Diane Sawyer was like, people think this could be a publicity stunt. And when he said, look, we're doing something really important here. We're going to change some people. We're going to change the world. Like that was pretty impactful. I thought it was great.
Sometimes, I mean, a few times in the interview, I felt like she was being really callous.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell if it was just that. I couldn't tell.
Like if she didn't know how, maybe she didn't go through a transgender ally training.
I have so much respect for her, but I just couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. Like I was
like, are you a woman? When she said that.
Yeah. And just for different things. And I get journalism.
Yeah.
I get it. But I just felt a couple times it could have been smarter.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe she, I haven't seen her in action in a long time. So maybe that's
changed.
Does
she still do stuff?
I'm not sure.
Is she on like The View or The Chew or The Talk or something?
No, I don't think she's on anything. I know, but you know, we had something come up, speaking of what you were talking about at the gym, we had something come up where the boys and my son is in fifth grade and they had the talk at school where they go into like separate rooms. And it really came up. I mean, it came up in my brain. How did they divide the kids up? I thought, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, was that defined by other people? And I thought, boy, that's going to be an issue in 2 years.
Wow.
I bet next year even. And this year felt weird. And I know I'm progressive.
Yeah.
But I thought, how did they divide those kids up? And who was crushed by being put into a box they don't belong in? Mm-hmm. And so I emailed the school.
Good for you.
And said, hey, just a thought. I mean, this is covered under laws for sure, but those are kind of too big for our kids.
Right.
Those things, and they operate in a strange way a lot. Like the law is taken into different contexts and whatever. And so I'm thinking of like my children. I'm thinking of the children of other people thinking like, who got shoved into a box in the fifth grade? And that was the moment that they knew they were different. And that was the path they went on instead of the path they're supposed to be on, of like feeling loved, supported, that they have a soft place to fall, that school is a safe place.
What did they say?
They it took them a few days to reply back to me, but they said that they had made an appointment with the, and I can't remember the name of the, like the district
social
services person and like one other, maybe legal counsel or something, that just said like, we're going to make a policy surrounding it specifically for Wilshire Park.
That's great.
And the New Brighton St. Anthony School District or whatever.
Wow, look at you.
But I was just like,
they probably never even thought about it.
I just bet nobody has said anything. Like, they have been doing this for years. They have been putting these, you know, and maybe this is the reason that the suicide rate for transgender individuals and you know, GLBT, I always get that thing wrong and I feel like I have a mental block. I get the order of the letters wrong. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. But I feel like that's why, you know what I mean? Like at some point someone said, you're weird. And maybe it was their favorite teacher and that's why it had a bigger, you know, impact on them. But I thought, you know, and I don't know about my own kids, but I'm not doing it for my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it for the other kids. I'm doing it for the kids whose parents have never considered that their children might be transgender or gay. I have, you know, I haven't considered it because of anything in particular. I've just considered that it may happen and that, you know, I have two kids. One of them may be, maybe both. I don't know. But like, I just have such a wide I mean, it was like 10 years ago watching Oprah with that one woman who was transitioning and she was in her wife remained married to her after the transition and like watching that in like, and I had a lot of respect for that show and I watched it every day and Nursing Coleman and Aiden, both of them, Oprah's like when I was so staying good. Home.
And don't you miss it?
I do miss it. I think of every day at 4 o'clock. I mean, for years I was like, oh, it's not on. But because mostly because it was like a punctuation to the day.
Yeah. And it was intelligent.
Yeah.
And it was always something interesting.
You know, and I had my godmother came out after being married for 25 years. And then I've had a couple of people that I worked with in my industry. And one person that I met through my sister-in-law that transitioned. And and it just was like, it's so brave to make the choice to not just come out, but come out in that way. And I don't think it's bigger than coming out as gay or lesbian.
Well, and to like be able to just be who you feel like you are. I mean, I don't know what that's like to feel like, you know, but I can only imagine
hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I haven't done anything even remotely close, but I hid for a long time as like a happy person.
Right.
And
I was I was thinking of that as I said that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's not, so I wouldn't even become, you know, I wouldn't even begin to purport that it was a similar struggle, but like pretending that you're anyone is exhausting. Right. And I think, you know, there was a time in the interview where he said, Bruce Jenner said, you know, would this just be easier if I went in my room? I have a gun. Would it just be easier for everyone if I just went away? And like, that's what hiding does. Mm-mm. That's what hiding does to your psyche.
And he's 65. Like, imagine.
I know. And he said, realized, like, I could get cancer next year and die. And I would be really mad at myself if I didn't do this. Like, it's just, it's funny how, you know, like, thinking of like that doesn't make it seem very complicated. It's right. Just like, why would you be miserable in a marriage? Why would you be, he's miserable in his body, in his soul. Mm-hmm. And so I think good it's for him. Just... I mean, anyone that makes jokes about it.
Oh, my God. And I will tell you, as a comedian, like the amount of shit I saw posted online, I was like, come on. Like, sometimes you can just not have something to say about it. Like, just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
I like that. That's the word. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. That was my audition for a Disney princess.
Nadal Nazim.
That will never stop being funny to me. Whoa. I'm sorry.
Like, see, that's funny.
Is, yes. Oh my God, what an idiot. Oh my God. But yeah, it's like, just let someone have a moment, okay? Like, this is a vulnerable, real thing. We don't have to cut it down and try to be funny, because that shit's not funny.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's not funny, and it's at some point maybe it was like part of like maybe like say 60s, like cross dressing on a television show, and we got the idea that it could be funny or fun or whatever. But at that point, it wasn't like.
Right.
It wasn't a reality yet. And so we were able to just talk, like speak openly about it and sort of like think of it as, a little bit in the ridiculous.
So I didn't
we transitioned into like this area where people are like, I like men. I like women. We're totally cool with that now. They're able to meet legally married now, and et cetera, et cetera. The next big thing we're going to do is deal with gender. And there's a time when it's like when AIDS stopped being funny. Mm-hmm. When, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like maybe there were a couple of jokes in the beginning where we were like, okay, we're just trying to deal with this.
Right.
And then it got so bad and people were like, okay, that's not funny anymore.
Yep. It's a legit thing.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's what we're cycling through right now. But as far as having respect for those comedians anymore, it's okay.
It's
not funny. And I did see Conan had done a joke, and it was really disappointing.
Yeah, because he's usually pretty on it. You know what I mean?
I know. Like, I agree.
Yeah.
So, it's a big deal, and I'm proud of him for doing it. And I think it's funny that most people are shocked by the fact that he came out as a Republican.
I know.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's not like every celebrity needs to be put into this like liberal, you know.
Well, it does seem to me. I mean, I could see like rich old white guys. I mean, he kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Traditionally, pre-transition sort of fits that mantra. So
And there are women Republicans who I, you know, have respect for, and more power to him.
Maybe, but he's going to probably be socially liberal, considering, you know. I don't know. I know I worked for a woman
who, that's a good point,
was transitioned from male to female, and as a male he was a Democrat that served on the city council, and then as he transitioned to female became a Republican and was the first transgender deputy mayor appointed in the country. So
oh, wow.
It was under Mayor Norm Coleman when Norm Coleman was mayor. So yeah, right. Here in St. Paul, Susan Kimberly. So yeah, that was, I mean, she had quite a story.
Nice.
As well. So,
well, should we do Tweets of the Week?
Tweets of the Week.
I think that sounds like a yes.
You go first. I love it.
So I picked a tweet by local publicist and writer Maggie Lamack.
Oh, I know Maggie, not in person, but from the internet.
Is it Lamack or Lamack?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either. There's two A's and it sort of throws me off. But she said, when people's bios start happily married, I immediately think they are totally not happily married. I just get that, like putting that front and center. It's been, I think it's bizarre too.
Agreed.
So there's that.
I agree. Okay. So mine comes from Paula Pell, which her Twitter handler is at Perla Pell, and she is a writer for Saturday Night Live.
I love her.
I love her too.
Yeah.
And so a few days ago she tweeted, "Hey, young girls, be wildly amused by your own weirdness and seek out others who do the same." And I just thought that that's something I could get behind right there.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we don't need to try to fit into those boxes, you know?
I always say fly your freak flag high and see who digs it.
Yeah, girl.
You know?
Like, yeah, girl.
You know, that weird, like, nerdy knowledge. And they always, like, people are like, oh, my God, me too. Mm-hmm. And I love that happening. I love that. It's so much fun.
Me too.
So I like you. Paula Pell. Paula Pell. I always feel like I'm saying her name wrong because of her Twitter. Paul LaPelle. Because of her
Paul LaPelle.
Twitter handle.
Sister of Patti LaBelle. What? I don't even know what's going on right now. Nice. This is dumb.
It's not. I like your segues.
Thank you.
Well,
it's so fun to be here with you today.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining
You're us. You're the best.
You are. This is Jen, and you can find me online at jenshaw.com or on the Twitter at jenshaw.
This is Kate. You can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate.
You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
Ba-do-boo. XOXO.
JK.